Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America. Me, Sean Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show, and Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. We are discussing investments. I will be mostly talking about real estate. So nationally, a little more than 40% of Black people are homeowners. So we all should be promoting Black homeownership. Investing in our future is very important. Buying a home is a smart financial decision because it provides stability in payment compared to rent that is always rising. There is stability and financial strength in owning a home. The time for Black home ownership is now. There are incentives and tax breaks to citizens who own a home, tax deductions and credits for those who have a mortgage, property taxes, and additional house-related expenses. There is also a sense of pride that comes with home ownership, more likely to stay in the area which develops in a relationship with the community. As homeowners continue to pay off their mortgage, they have access to equity loans. Equity loans are guaranteed by the house, and the interest rates are much lower. And also, real estate can offer cash flow, equity building, competitive risk adjustment returns, and a hedge against inflation. Justin, what would you like to add?
Well, you know, when it comes to investments, just go off of the real estate, right? Obviously, you know, a lot of people are hesitant to jump into the real estate market because at the end of the day, it is a big commitment. You know, a lot of things can go right, a lot of things can go wrong. There are a lot of pros and cons when it comes to the real estate. Yet, as you so eloquently, you know, presented in an intro, I do believe it's time for Black America to really put a focus on ownership in land and also real estate. And one of the things that I think is really fascinating, you know, that a lot of people might not even realize, you know, is how easy you can become a homeowner, right? And it's not necessarily a thing, though, that you even have to do all on your own. And that's why, like, you know, as the listeners, you know, listen in throughout the show, you know, throughout the history of the show since I've been on, you know, I always talk about, you know, it's starting at home. You know what I mean? And the main reason is because a lot of us are, you know, coming from a disadvantage, not simply because we're Black, but the mindset that we have when we're coming out. You know, at 18, I'm leaving the house and getting my own place. That's not really the best mindset. I have a friend, he's 24 right now, about to be 25. So he's just turned 25. And he's getting ready to buy his first property. Still live with his dad and his mom, you know, has a kid. Him and his girlfriend live, you know, still live at his parents' house, been working, been able to save up all this money, don't have to pay any bills, and now is able to buy a quadplex, right? You know, those are things that we got to be, you know, pushing our kids to do. But not even just pushing our kids to do, but also setting it up for our children as well. And what's really important to do that is making sure that we establish credit, you know, with our children. A lot of people don't know much about credit. And, you know, strangely enough, as much as we do U.S. history, you know, in public school and talk about literally white history every 13 years, you know, we might talk about credit throughout that period of time, maybe 3 months. And that's out of that whole entire 12-year period, right? It's really important for us to, one, get educated on credit and how they can be very beneficial and useful. But, for example, like we all can take, you know, benefit from like the FHA loan, which is coming more and more popular especially since after the meltdown in 2008, where, you know, before FHA loans had a higher interest rate than your conventional loan, right? Well, after 2008 with the meltdown, it was, you know, before 2008, before the meltdown, what a lot of people realized, what the thought process was, is that on an FHA loan, the person typically has less income or a bad credit score or not a good credit score. It's what a lot of lenders and banks, you know, look down at on FHA loans. But, you know, following the crash in 2008, you know, the perspective really changed. I mean, these are loans that are 100% backed behind the government. So even if a person forfeits, the government is still backing that loan. And so now, now, with that being said, FHA loan interest rate has actually become lower in many cases than the conventional loan, which is something which is really awesome. You know, we got to always, you know, look at the, you know, pros and cons. But one of the things that I encourage people to do is right now you got to look at the market. When I first jumped in, I was talking about timing, right? You got to look at timing. Is it the right time to hop into the market? You know, it's always good to go out there and make some money, try to get a flip if you can flip a house. But right now, you know, it is a seller's market. You know, lumber is high, so building houses right now is way more expensive than it has been in the past. And then also, you know, everyone's looking to jump into the real estate market. Houses are growing like pancakes. So, you know, you got to realize as the market increase, eventually there's going to be a decrease. You know, eventually there's going to be a pop in the bubble. And what wealthy people do in a wealthy mindset is that, you know, while we're on an incline, while the economy is building, save every penny you can get. Every penny you can get your hand on, save it. Because soon as the next recession hits, you're seeing houses that was, you know, $150,000 on the market for $72,000. You know, you're seeing so many people going in buying homes that are foreclosed, you know, for pennies of what they would have paid before. So, you know, and I'm not saying that you don't have it now. I mean, I know my fiance, she has a cousin, you know, who purchased, you know, two homes. He called up the bank, made an offer, bank accepted it, you know. So, you know, we always got to be looking for those steals, you know, and not be afraid to invest. What do you think so far, Michonne? And we want to get our callers in, 516-531-9540, press 1. If you are a homeowner or is thinking about, you know, purchasing property or even investment in general, we'd love to hear from you what some of the things that you're doing, what have you done, what worked, what didn't work, you know, and what are you pursuing? What would you say, Michonne?
Okay. I also wanted to say that when I get finished, I would like someone to weigh in, and I will let you know that. Let me make sure they're on their own. But matter of fact, it's 1053 as soon as I finish this. Now, you mentioned the FHA loan, which is really great, a home loan, because you only have to put 3.5% down. And what a FHA loan is, a mortgage that is insured by the Federal Housing Administration and issued by the FHA-approved lender. And to be eligible for a FHA loan, borrowers must meet the following lending guidelines: have a FICO score of 500 to 579 with 10% down. Now, if your credit score is between 500 and 579, they do require you to put 10% down, or a FICO score of 580 or higher, you only have to put 3.5% down, but you have to have verifiable employment history for the last 2 years. You can build a house with the FHA loan. The FHA loan allows borrowers to take out a loan to build a home on land they already own, as long as a few additional requirements are met. The exact requirements will depend on how the land value compares to your total FHA construction loan amount. And you have to move into the home at least 60 days after closing, and you must keep it as a primary residence for at least 1 year. And I would like to bring on 1053.
Mark it.
1053?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm talking. Okay. I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, I was going to say that what I think is right now for real estate, the best market for doing investing in real estate is fix and flips because of the financing that you can get and because of the credit. You only need about a 630 or 620 mid-score to qualify for a fix and flip loan. And I'm talking about you only need about 10% down, and you can get 100% financing on your rehab. And I think this is where, especially with minorities, where you don't have a lot of money, or anybody really, where you don't have a lot of money, you're good off. You're off to the start with just 10% down and 100% of your rehab.
Right. And I also want callers to know that I have been talking with him. Also, because I've been looking into investing some property. One of the areas is the St. Louis area that I've been looking at. And I've been, you know, testing the waters and getting out there. But I think that is an area because it's close to me. So I have been looking and weighing and trying to find out, you know, what is a good deal and what isn't, and you know what areas to invest in, because you know I'm ready to jump into that. And I do agree with the fix and flip. So what else, what other information do we need to know, especially about the fix and flip? And I
with the fix and flip, you're talking about getting in and out of a property. Right now, the market, and most markets, they are actually retailing those houses after they get them ready for retail. Because right now it's not really a good time to buy a house because it's a seller's market. People are paying ridiculous prices for houses right now. And I think that with the fix and flip, you can make some money in the real estate business. Because you can actually sell your property at the maximum cost retail right now. So it's really a good market for the fix and flip properties. And you mentioned about FHA. Also,
yes.
FHA will also pay seller concessions, which is, I think it's like 3.5%. It might be 4 now.
It's 3.5.
Is it 4?
No, 3.5% down.
No, I'm talking about for the
seller concessions.
Yeah, concessions, right. So actually, the seller can pay part of your close, can pay all of it, really. The 3.5, because that's what you're putting down.
Right.
They can get a 3.5 seller concession. And so you're really talking about no money down. So, I mean that's FHA or VA is the best way to get funding when you loan cash.
So, I totally agree.
I mean, and you know, when we're talking about, you know, those loans, I mean instead of just throwing out arbitrary numbers, one of the things that I think is really important for us to, you know, make sure our viewers have our listeners have an understanding of what that means and what that looks like. You know, if you was looking to go buy a house for $100,000, that means you would need to have $3,600 worth of down payment. You know, if you
were
going,
and a lot of people get more than that back on income tax that pay rent.
Exactly. You know, and two, one of the things I would say, you know, especially to, you know, parents and, you know, people with children, things of that nature, when we have these our income tax and stuff like that, when we aren't getting these things back, you know, look at buying a house, you know, get to the point where you're looking to buy a house, buy a unit every year, you know, like when your kid graduates, you know, high school and they're going to go off to college, have a unit that they can be in control of, that they have saved up their money. You're walking them through the process to buying their first unit, you know, and then just imagine your kid going off to college and they only own apartment units. On top
right.
of that, so they're getting money
not
while they're going to school.
That,
you know, I mean, I just think about, you know, the impact in general. I have how it's going to be an effect, how this can affect, you know, your life right now directly. And like the previous caller said, right now it's a seller's market. That's what I said. I'll
it
be scraping
is. But
every
be
penny.
Clear just because it's a seller's market, because there's also deals out there. Also, because there's a lot of people who are going to be able to make their house payment. And with all this money from the pandemic, they probably won't be able to come up with it. But also with the FHA loan, you, in 3 years after you get an FHA loan, you can turn around and get another first-time homeowners after 3 years. And also,
correct.
With the FHA loan, you can get up to a fourplex, live in one, rent out the other three, because it's still considered residential, up to four. Also, and the caller also mentioned the VA loan, and that is zero down mortgage. You don't have to put anything down if you can get a VA loan if you're a veteran, and the options is issued by a private lender and partially backed or guaranteed by the Department of Veterans Affairs. Eligible borrowers can use a VA loan to purchase a property as their primary residence or refinance an existing mortgage with the VA loan. So there's a lot of, I think, like if you don't have that big of a down payment, I think these are the way to go. And also, like, to apply for one, what they do is look at your current finances, then you just choose a lender and you choose a real estate agent, and then you shop for a home with the VA loan. It's like they make the process really simple for veterans. And also, we have another caller, 9763. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
9763?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm all right. This is Jackson. Listen, I might lose you guys again. I'm in the mountains again. Listen, right now I'm over in Virginia, heading to Jersey.
Okay.
But yeah, I was also listening, like you said, in the flip market on that same idea, is that if you're really sincere about buying a house, yeah, I would say save your money up and build your credit up. I mean, because, you know, even when you're talking about, you know, a credit score of 5 and 6, I mean, they're still going to try to hit you with some kind of high interest on that. So, I mean, and then like my man was saying, you know, flipping a home, you know, even buying that house and fix it up for yourself, at least you know exactly what's in the house. You know how the plumbing is, you know how the wiring is, you know everything about that house because you redone it. Instead of, you know, spending a lot of money buying somebody else's house, which you know nothing about, but you done got tied into and everything starts falling apart. And on the other part of that, what you were speaking of, yeah, we have to get more educated on, you know, on these loans and different things like that. Because, yeah, a lot of people don't want to do it because they think it's a big responsibility. But the responsibility is not as big as, you know, being a renter, because you're never going to own it. So you just constantly, like you said, paying rent and watching it go up, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't build no credit off of that.
Right, and rent is always going up.
Yeah.
Well, not only is rent going up, but, you know, you got to realize
every month you pay your rent, that's money you just threw out the window. Because every month when you pay your mortgage, you know, you didn't pay it to someone where it's gone. You still have that same money. Instead of it being in the form of dollar currency, it's now in the form of equity into the home, you know. And so, like, that is the huge difference in why that is so important. And, like, you know, just like, you know, the caller that's in the mountains right now is saying, you know, like, building up your credit is massively important. And that's why, you know, one of the things, like, when we're talking about, you know, investing, one of the things I like to throw out there is fun ways for people to be able to build their credit. You know, one of the things that people can do is if you're a parent, if you are, if you're someone trying to build your credit, you know, ask your parents to put the put yourself as a lister on their credit, right? I forget the appropriate name that it's called, but regardless, what happens is, you know, you will then get that credit history, and it will boost your credit up while you're building your credit. It allows you to build your credit a lot faster. You know, that's one of the things we're looking to do for, you know, our kids as they're growing up, is go ahead and open up their accounts, getting them on our credit list, and making sure we're making our on-time payments. So that way, by the time they turn 18, you know, they already got a credit score of 800. They already have a perfect credit score. You know, it's not like, oh, I got to build this up. It's already built at that point in time. And then two, when we're talking about, you know, buying a house, I caution everyone, you know, in the market right now, like I said, is never be scared, always looking for the good deal, but you're going to find great deals, you know, coming up soon. You know,
the people that I'm appealing to, I'm talking to a guy that he doesn't even own a house. He doesn't own anything. He has cash. Now, here's what this is. This is my approach. I understand what you're saying. You're talking about building up wealth over a long period of time. I'm talking about a guy with a credit score of 620 or 630 mid score. That's bad credit to me right there. He's already set the dude you're talking about. That's all he needs. And to give you a good example, take, for example, if you want to purchase a $60,000 house to fix and flip, and you don't even have to own a home or anything, just have money to do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. Say you want to buy a house for $60,000, that's the purchase house, and you want to buy it and you want to rehab it. And you need to buy it, you need 10% down, you need $6,000 to buy it, right? Okay, you want to need what's that?
That's for a hard money loan investment, Justin.
Yeah, this is hard money.
Yeah, $6,500.
It's hard money. It's hard money, right? Hard money. And you're going to need 10% down, all right? That's $6,000 to purchase a $60,000 house. And now you want to rehab it, and you need $25,000. Well, you can get 100% of your rehab financed. Okay, so you have a total loan amount of $54,000 plus the $25,000 that you get in rehab, but the lender is going to give you all of that for the rehab. So you need $79,900. That's your loan amount. Okay, and you take that loan amount, and when you retail the house, when you get it all rehab, the house probably might probably be worth between $180,000 to $200,000. Okay? You know what my flippers make? These guys make on an average around $30,000 or $35,000 every time they flip a property because they know what they're doing. Or flip. And that's all the cash they need to come up with something like $12,320 with their closing costs and everything. All they need to come up with is $12,320, and you got the opportunity to make about $25,000 or $30,000. That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you go out,
and that's what I'm talking to him. Keep talking.
Yeah, and if you flip four houses, and if you made a four houses, you made $25,000. You made $100,000. That's what I'm talking about doing. I'm just tuning in on just the fix and flips, not the other building your credit and getting it all up. I don't need the credit. I got a 630, you say. You already got that. I got a 630 mixed. Mm-hmm. I got my credit covered. And I can get the loan because it's a fix and flip, and you got a year to pay it. You can pay off the loan in a year. But most people that flip, these guys are flipping because it's a seller's market. They are flipping those houses in a month, in 60 days or less. Yeah, they're flipping now. And that's why I'm talking about how you can make some quick, fast money with a low investment. That's what I'm talking about. And then now you can really build wealth because you have something to work with.
Right, and that's the option I'm going with.
Yeah, that's the way to go. That's the way to go.
What right.
You, talking about? You don't even need to own a house. Just start flipping. Just start flipping. Make it $25,000 to $35,000 every time you flip one. You buy a mansion pretty soon. You'll be buying a mansion. That's your personal residence. You could go and put buy a convention and put the 80% down if you wanted to. Or you can go to SHA.
Right.
I want to bring in 5073. Do you have a question, comment that you want to contribute?
Not really. I'm just enjoying and taking in all the information I'm hearing about because I might start flipping and quit work.
All you need is $12,320. I know a lady that between her income tax and she had two kids, she had something like $20,000 in cash. For me, that's substantial money. She could have invested $12,320 and flipped a house. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So, that's the route I'm going because return on my investment will be quicker.
Right.
Yeah, and plus, you know, being black and owning a home is laying a foundation for building generational wealth and family and financial security. And, you know, you'd be able to pass down assets to your descendants and, you know, and plus home ownership increases your net worth. And wealth is accumulation of assets.
Michonne, but I think you have an insurance license, life license, right?
Insurance. I have accident, health, and life insurance.
Right. You know what? When you start building wealth, the best way to build wealth is to buy cheap term insurance and let everybody have it. When they die, they got their estates already set, and they know they're going to die. That's a guarantee. And where you're buying a policy, say like the young people like only like 30 or something like that, 25 years old, they can buy $500,000 worth of coverage for about $30. I don't know, Michonne, you can be more up to date on that.
It's cheap.
Term. I'm just pure term. And if all black people carry just pure term and insure it themselves, and you're going to die, whether you want to or not, you're going to die. All of us are going to die. Take that insurance
out. It depends on the term because the term is only for a term and when it ends. So if it ends and your health is bad at that time, I mean, it's good when your money, when you need insurance and you don't have the income to buy the larger amount through buying like a whole life policy. But a whole life policy
I understand what you're saying because I did the same thing. I know that everybody tell you cash value in the policy, a whole life policy.
And yeah, so, you can overpay the policy.
That's the plan in case you live. I'm going in case you die.
Well, you know what? That would be great for people in the inner city.
Anybody.
Oh, I understand. Work better for their families.
No, it would be better. Yeah, you're right because of the way they live. Yeah.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I was saying that everybody had insurance, but you can't afford whole life insurance. I don't want to get on that,
reality,
but I was just mentioning.
The reality is all black people start getting life insurance, they stop killing us.
Yeah, you're right,
Justin. I'm just being honest.
You know what? You got a point right there. Because
Justin, but the beneficiary would be one of your relatives.
Right, but
I'm telling you. Look, if they knew any time a black person was killed, they'd be like, "Yeah, we gotta get these guns out of the street. We gotta get them off drugs. Gotta get them health care. Make sure they stay healthy. We gotta make them live. You know, okay. Can't have them down. Oh no, we can't. He just put $1 million policy on his kids." And so if anything happens to his kids before they turn 18, they just made $1 million. We can't be doing that.
Well, not only that, but if they label it accidental like the police like to do, that can triple whatever the face value was. They have the right sticker on there. It will triple the value by accident. They label it accident.
I just said that I didn't mean to change your conversation about the real estate, but I just thought it's black dictators.
No, the conversation is about investing. The conversation is about investing.
Insurance is an investment.
It is. It's like what investing really is what you're doing is planning ahead. If you're planning ahead, then you are investing at the end of the day. That's literally what investing is. And you need to be thinking about what if scenario, worst case scenario, and planning for them. So hopefully they never come. But if they do come, bam, you plan for that. You're ready. You're ready to go. You know what I mean? And it's like by doing that, we can change things. I know like earlier today, I was looking at different honeymoon locations. And I was looking at cost. You know, growing up, I always thought I would never do a lot of things just because it's just too expensive, you know. Looking at how cheap to go to a lot of these places, I told my fiance, I said, look, yo, we about to start going places. Like, I just found we can go to Cabo for a stack. For under $900, we can go to Cabo for a whole week, you know. And just to experience it. And so, like, thing is, you know, you got to plan. Make your bucket list. What do you want to do? What are the things you want to have done for your children? What are the things that you need to have done so that way you are building generational wealth, but also living your life to the fullest as well and making sure yourself is happy. Some other investment opportunities, are out there. Like I said, you know, you can start businesses. There are stocks. It's always very strong. And right now what a lot of people are getting into is artificial currency such as like Bitcoin and other different artificial currencies. Why? It's because that's the market of the future as we continue to move towards a fully globalized market, right? Rashawn, you said you want to invest.
Bitcoin and all that currency is too volatile, and I kind of disagree with you on that, because I think eventually the government's going to regulate that currency.
Yeah, there are for that. We have another caller, 1516. I want to bring him on. This is your fiance's cousin who brought the real estate, and I have a few questions for him. Hello, 1516. Are you on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You made some purchases in real estate.
Yes.
And what I was asking is, what motivated you to do what you did? Because it was awesome how you did it. So can you tell us about it?
Honestly, what actually really motivated me is I want a better life for my son. And plus, my family, I want to be able to say everybody from my family got a house from me. Either they built it or they're renting to own or whatever. you know, and plus I just want to keep it going, keep getting more and more stuff going, and make as much people happy as I can. And plus it's a great business to go into. Everybody needs a home.
I totally agree.
So can you tell us a little bit about your purchases? Like, so I know I've heard stories, you know, but it'd be great to hear for like what was the purchase? How did you go about it? And what was the result? What was your plan and what was the result?
My plan. All right, I fix houses, and then I rent them and sell them. I'm in the process of doing three right now. One of them is actually going to my mom. And we're halfway done right now. But, you know, the lumber shortage and everything else that's going on, so it put a lot of stuff on hold, but it's coming back. I got workers working that's helping me get everything done. So my mind's on the right track. I'm doing it right. Going to get the other ones going and then instantly go into more stuff like apartments and mobile homes, everything else.
How
I just
want to
keep
you?
Going forward. I'm 23.
See? And also, his houses are paid for.
Yeah, everything's mine. I don't owe nothing.
And so, give us a backstory on that. How did that come about?
Can you say it again? I didn't hear you.
Give us a backstory. You say you don't owe nothing. Like, you know, like how did you execute your plan?
Honestly, I went to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people won't tell you. Go to the bank and see what they have. If you can buy it from them, you got the money. It's yours.
Okay, so that's what you just went to a random bank and said, hey, what do you guys have? They said, this is what we have. And you said, hey, this is what
honestly, it took me a while. I had to keep calling and calling. I called a whole bunch of banks, a whole bunch of other people to figure out how I can and get them and find me some houses.
And your persistence paid off.
As long as you put your mind to something, you can get it.
Right, because how many 23-year-olds own three homes paid for?
And actually, I'm in the process of, I might actually be getting one more, so that's going to be four.
One thing is good about the caller is that he's dealing with distressed properties, and that's what I've been talking about. He's dealing with distress. These properties are in trouble, and he comes in, he can cut a deal with a bank or a lender, and take advantage of a distressed property and rehab it. That's where the money is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Yeah, you're on the right track. And that's where the money is. It's fix and flipping or fix and hold. Like in your case, you don't have to flip because you actually own the property outright. And that's a good thing. You can actually fix and hold. And evidently that's the skill that I think
well, right
doing
now,
a good job.
Honestly, right now,
and then plus and then plus what they don't tell you is when I get all three properties actually all the way done, I have equity. I can go to the bank and go say I have these three homes and then you know, if I actually needed a loan I could get it because I have equity.
Exactly. 100% equity in all your homes.
Yep.
Right. So if you can get into where you need some quick cash, you just put out take out another mortgage and make more money.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, in real estate market is built for a lot of leverage. Like when I talk about the 10% down and you getting 100% of your rehab, that's a lot of what you call leverage. You get a lot of leverage if you can't get doing other types of businesses where you want to go and open up a restaurant or or a bar or any furniture store, whatever business you want to get, you don't have the leverage to open up that business that you have with real estate. And that's what makes real estate a good investment, especially with someone with limited cash. And I think the blacks in particular are missing the boat on that when they don't understand that. Because there's a lot of opportunity out there in real estate. And most of the people that are really wealthy, they own a lot of real estate. A lot of real estate.
I agree.
Me too.
I know you do.
I have a question for the caller.
Okay. Go ahead.
Caller, I heard you say you have a house for your mom, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What about your grandmother?
It's still in the works. We're still talking about it. You know what you want. Talking about it. I didn't forget about you.
One. That's the fourth house he's talking about.
I have witnesses. All of you are my witnesses.
I would ask the grandmother, you know, what did she have for you to be passing down, you know, legacy?
Hey.
Knowledge.
I might help him rehab. What you talking about?
I'm not saying you wouldn't. I'm just saying.
Right, but you know what? The caller does
have
a right
attitude.
Also,
you can do generate wealth. I have been trying to get some of my children to go in with me and buy a house. Like the other caller said, eventually, I'm going to leave this earth. But see, families don't understand. Some of the like the Chinese, Japanese, the Mexicans, they pool money and buy houses. And then they buy somebody, get the next house. We're just too jealous of each other and our own families.
That's not always the case, because sometimes you can't do things for certain family members.
I didn't say you can choose who you want to do it with, but you can still generate wealth by pooling money together. Like when I lived in Pennsylvania, it was 100 of us women going, before I moved back to Southern Illinois, that was going to open up a business. We said, we are not going to the bank. We're going to fund it ourselves. Everybody had to come up with, they hadn't decided on whether we give $1,000 each, two or five or whatever. But they were going to start a business, whereas they would own it when they started up. And they would not owe any money to any bank, because you can pool money to get yourself into business. If if you don't have all up right then yourself, and that's the way a lot of people does things like that. Hey, you can be your own banker. You can buy houses like that, pooling money.
Well,
my
you're
friend,
right. You can
hey,
be your own
it, call, I have a question for the caller. I have a question for the caller. Caller, so, you know, you don't have to disclose, like, any, like, physical amounts or anything like that. But, like, you know, I 100% agree with you. I guess, have you set aside funds for if, you know, someone in your family or even close friend or someone you trust that you would like to go into business with, you know, have you set aside those funds to be able to participate?
I always have a side. I always have money that don't nobody know I got a business. And maybe one of my great grandchildren. You never let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. You only let
them
know so much.
There you go. There you go.
My lawyer wanted to set me up in business, but I wasn't ready. I thought, for one thing, I was too old, but I probably not too old. He wanted to set me up in a, he told me I should open up a sweet shop because nobody could make desserts like I could. And I had a sister tell me that I should be selling some of my cakes for $100 a cake. She said because she ordered online and they could not, she paid $100 for a cake online and she said they could not touch the cakes I make. So I thought about teaching the boys because they like to cook. I don't know too many of my granddaughters that like to cook or my daughters. So the boys like to cook. And I told them they could open up a restaurant. They're so good at it. And I would have fun. And back to you talking about term insurance, Michonne. Okay, I talked to some. Even, you know, how you say it might separate or change. No, you might pay a little more for it, but most of them, if you're in good health, will continue to give you those term insurances. And I found out also that even on the term insurances, there are people and companies out there abide from, especially if you got over $100,000. Life insurance, they'll give you that money for it because they know, like the one caller said, you're going to die. And they look around.
I'm aware of that.
So sometimes you can get your generational wealth in your hand before you die and give it to who you really want to have it.
Well, I thought just straight up term insurance would pay. As long as you paid the premium, it was paid for. I'm not talking about level. There's the thing called level term, which is for a specific term, a period of time, like 25-year level. But if you're not buying the level, you might pay a little bit more for just straight term insurance. But as long as you pay that term in premium, you got insurance. And like I said, I never used the strategy to build up wealth through insurance. I use insurance in case you die.
Okay, you can build up wealth because there was a man that I was I used to work for, and he had a lot of insurance policies. He had an insurance policy that was like $40,000 that he had forever. When I called him, it was a whole life policy. So when he showed me his policy, I said, call the insurance company to see what is your cash value. His cash value for so much that he paid on it was worth over $70,000. But the policy was for $40,000. So I told him, this is what people don't understand about their policy, a lot of them don't, that when you build up cash value, you get more interest. So some people use the term as being your own bank, because sometimes when people have a policy, sometimes your cash value in that policy is worth more than the policy itself. So I recommended to him, your cash value is $70,000. But your insurance policy is worth $40,000. Take the cash value. Take all $70,000 out. Because if you die and you don't do that, all they're going to pay out to your family is $40,000.
Yeah, but the point I'm making, Michonne, is that that's because he lived. I'm talking about I have insurance in case you die. That's what I'm talking about. Because a lot of people, the majority of, especially in the black market, they don't live that long. That's why they need the insurance, because they don't live. What you're talking about is a story about somebody that lived. They lived. But what about the guy that died at 55 with no insurance?
Okay.
Or a small whole life policy. I say you use your investment. If I did financial planning, planning. I was a financial planner professional, a financial planner some years ago when we managed $21 billion in payments. And they taught me just like you did. They taught the same thing. They said, take the cash back, whole life is the way to do an insurance. But I never agreed with that. Because I was a company guy. The state of guys, a man that's 30 or 40 years old and died, and his wife sucked all the bills because they were young. They didn't have time to accumulate any money. But if he had term insurance, he could have had something like $500,000 for $25 a month.
Oh, that is good. But there are other people who also use it, and they overfund their account, like pay way more into the insurance policy because he gets a whole lot more interest off the money as far as cash value. So they make us take a anti-money laundering training every so often because that's how a lot of people launder money, and they know it, and it's hard to prove by overfunding accounts and then taking the money out. So there are people who know how to use
it. I don't know if it's my phone, but I'm getting a lot of static.
Somebody's windows right down.
Yeah, there's a lot of static from somebody. I don't know. Use your phone if you drive. And
somebody need to roll their windows up.
Or something.
Oh,
thank you.
There you go.
Okay, we have 1516. You got a question or comment?
I just muted 1516.
I can't hear you.
Okay. You got a question or comment?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, another thing I was saying when they mentioned insurance, some people, like I said, they call it being your own bank. Some, like, I'll give you an example. Like, if you were going out to buy a brand new car and you had enough cash value in your insurance policy, instead of going to get a loan from a bank, they would take their money out from the cash value, go pay cash for the car. And what they would do is make their payments back to the insurance policy.
Because you live. You didn't die. That's the point I'm making. I understand
right
what you're saying, Machado. I'll put it this way. I was the biggest producer in insurance business in the Lansing division in Michigan. I was the biggest producer in insurance years ago. I was the top producer, and we covered Detroit. Okay. And I know insurance, and they said, and know what? They say the same thing you did. And I never sold; I sold term, because I don't know if when one of my clients die, I want to make them, I want to make sure they got some cash value. You only make about, I think when I was doing it, it was like 3%, and I think it's about that, like that today. That's all you make on a whole life policy, 3%.
Oh no, you know it's way higher than that now.
How much is it now?
I think it's close to, it's over 15%.
It's not 15%. Huh?
No, it's way, way higher now. That's not even close to it. That was an old figure right there. No, it's way more.
Well, most investors only expect to make 15 or 20% on their money.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yes.
So I mean, I know we got into the, life insurance. We got into real estate. One thing that I know we got about, 5 minutes left, so I just want to make sure I throw this out there. One thing that we also, should be looking at is, starting our own businesses, right?
Right.
One of the things that, we can do pretty easily is, like several people have said on this call today, we're going to put our money together. How much money do we spend at Family Dollars a year?
Do you know you can open up your own family dollars for about $25,000 investment without having to pay any type of franchise fees? They waive all those.
Family
Dollar. And they're one of the largest growing chains in the United States.
Yeah, that's
the average cost to open up a Family Dollar is between $10,000 and $25,000.
Yeah, I looked at the Family Dollar and General, I think it's General Dollar, General Store.
Dollar
like
General.
What is it?
Oh, okay. Like,
well, I mean, I'm just saying my whole thing is the whole concept of the whole concept. The whole concept is, you know, being able to get stuff going where you put money down and that money returns makes you more money, you know. And as far as, you know, we talk about life insurance, personally, I think I know some people, you know, don't want people to know that they have life insurance because they don't want, you know, if they get sick, people be like, oh, let them die so we can, you know, get the money.
Justin, you're really cynical, you know.
You say what?
And then you will be surprised. Won't have you in their will.
You know.
You're kind of cynical.
No, I'm not cynical. I'm going to be honest. You wouldn't believe some of the things I've heard. You
John,
know, this is not how
watch
I
watch him. He might be planning on you.
No, he ain't getting me.
Mashawn knows we didn't have these conversations.
You know, I'm a real coach. Right. I ain't worried about that one.
First off, like I said, you know, like some people might feel that way. I don't think, you know, that's always the proper way to think. But, like, if you're looking at these white people, that's what white people do. They let their family members die, you know, to get that money, you know, and that's messed up,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, that's not,
no,
I, personally, I don't think that's the proper.
Black.
You say what?
It's a little white in all black people.
So I hear you on that. So my thing is so being able to set those things up, even if, you know, people don't know about it, like the caller's talking now, she explained, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. You know what I mean? Even if that is a thought process, right? You know, being able to have those things set up so, you know, we are at the end of the day passing on, you know, wealth to, you know, our bloodlines. To me, my whole concept is, you know, we have to, you know, build up the generation coming that we're having. You know, we have to build that generation up, and we got to make sure that they have it easier than we had it. Not saying that they don't learn lessons, not saying that they don't have the street smarts or book smarts to be able to be adequate to maneuver in this system, but, like, we got to make sure, you know, nobody can do it alone. We need help, you know, and, like, one of the things that troubles me is in the black community, you know, most people don't go to their family for help, and most people can't go to their family for help, and that's something that we have to change, you know. You see it in the white communities, you see it in the Asian community, and, like even with this Family Dollar that I just, you know, looked up, it's just like being able to put some money together to start our own store, you know, like to slowly start building. So that way, it's like, you know, we don't have to worry about what this boss and that boss says or what this boss and that boss says. You know, we own this, we own this, we own this. And that's really when we're free. You know, that's when we're able to say, hey, you know, I did this because I wanted to.
We have 1 minute left.
Yes, we have 1 minute left. Do we have any last callers that's out there that want to, you know, weigh in?
Well, I take my hat off to the gentleman, the little young man that did the deals that was 23 years old. He's the man of the night.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
You just saying that because that's your cousin.
You will be a multimillionaire, no doubt in my mind about it.
You know what? His uncle
I'm
Abel holds
a billionaire.
I wish he'd hurry up. My clock
is trying to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
I
know,
and the crazy
right.
part about it, you know what's crazy? I'm actually about to start something else too. I ain't gonna talk all about it. But I'm gonna keep y'all in tune. Bigger moves
okay.
are coming.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
All right. Want to say good night to everybody. Hey, y'all gonna have to call me Mountain Man.
All right, got a Mountain Man.
All right.
All right.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.